بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman.
Allah
who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illa.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani is the guest speaker for today's discussion from the Islamic House of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Today we want to talk about Quran and why the tafsir of the Quran is needed. If the Quran itself is self-sufficient, is a kind of full-scale argument or hujjah for the people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why at all there is a need to tafsir, Sheikh?
Yes, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, we should understand that the Quran should be understood by the people. The message of the Quran, the content of the Quran should be understood, should be conveyed to the people. So that's why the text of the Quran, first of all, was interpreted by the Holy Prophet himself. As we know that the Quran was collected by the companions of the Holy Prophet in the prisons of the Holy Prophet. But in those collections and compilation of the Quran, we have had some commentaries written by the companions like Amir al-Mu'minin, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. And there were a kind of explanations about some of the ayat of the Quran, which were made by the Holy Prophet himself. And he taught the companions the Quran and sometimes explained and expressed some parts of these ayat and verses of the Holy Quran. When Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salatu wasalam and the other companions after the demise of the Holy Prophet presented their Qur'ans to the Muslims, to the caliphs, they found the kind of differences among the different versions of the Qur'an, so that's why they tried to unite the Qur'an. So first of all, we know that the Holy Prophet himself interpreted the Holy Qur'an as it is made by some of the companions of the Holy Prophet. Secondly, it is very much rational and logical to say that, okay, the text of the Qur'an is sometimes ambiguous, sometimes clear, sometimes needs to explanations. That is why the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself was the one who explained the Quran, who expressed the Quran, who interpreted the Quran. That's why it is wrong to say that only the text of the Quran is enough.
Mm-hmm.
While the people need to understand, for example, when an ayah of the Quran is read to the people of the Holy Prophet, "Aqim as-salah."
Yes.
So then, how should I perform the prayer?
Salah.
Yeah.
There is no clear indication of how.
Of course, it should be explained.
Yes.
It should be explained by the Holy Prophet himself. The Holy Prophet himself is the interpreter of the Holy Quran, the first interpreter of the Holy Quran, because he did explain and express the ayat to the companions. As I mentioned, it was also compiled by some of the companions of the Holy Prophet, those commentaries, those explanations of the Quran that made by the Prophet himself.
That's right.
Later, in the next, for example, centuries, when non-Muslims converted to Islam, of course, they were in need of explanation. They were in need of interpretation of the Holy Quran because they didn't understand the Arabic text. So someone had to interpret, someone had to explain the Quran.
That's all right. So is it true that the non-Ma'soom writes a commentary or exegesis or tafsir on the Quran? Because as you said, yes, you are right. For example, there are some parts in the Holy Quran which are crystal clear to the audience. You know, the text is clear, the meaning is clear. But still, there are so many ayahs in the Holy Quran which needs true explanation. And when you refer to the tafsir, different indications and different tafsir are given, none of which might be true, all of which might be true, some of which might not be true, okay? So is it true that the non-Ma'soom gives exegesis or tafsir of the Quran?
So first and foremost, the Holy Prophet and Ma'soomin and Ahlul Bayt should interpret the Quran. The first, we can say, the generation of the interpreters of the Quran are, of course, the Ahlul Bayt, as the Holy Prophet himself mentioned that I'm leaving among you two precious things. One is the Holy Quran and the other one is Ahlul Bayt, my Ahlul Bayt, my household. And you have to refer to both of them.
Yes.
So if the Quran itself was sufficient, of course, the Prophet should not say that you have to refer to both of them because Quran is enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that the Quran should be explained by the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam. As you rightly mentioned, first of all, the Ma'sumeen, the infallibles, the Ahlul Bayt should interpret the Quran. But the problem is that if sometimes it was not possible for the Ahlul Bayt to present the interpretations of the Holy Quran, so in that case, of course, the other people, the non-ma'soom, also can refer to the Quran based on, for example, the qawa'id and the rulings of, let's say, morphology or syntax or these kind of things. They understand the text of the Quran and then they refer to, for example, the revelation, the occasion of the revelation, the the translations, let's say, the all the things.
So you mean the tafsir needs its own specific knowledge?
It has its own principles. Has its own principles. Based on those specific principles, the Quran should interpret it. Of course, it's impossible for each one of us to interpret Quran in what way that in whatever way that we want. It's impossible. Of course, it has muhkam.
Yes.
Based on those muhkam
clear ayat.
Yes. Yeah. We should explain the rest of the ayat of the Quran or the mutashabih or the ambiguous ayat of the Holy Quran. So yeah, it is clear that first of all, the Ahlul Bayt, the Ma'asumin should interpret. If we do not have access to the interpretation of those Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salatu wasalam, of course we can refer to the others' interpretations, but it should be in accordance with those solid, let's say, concrete principles of the Quran or principles of interpretations, which were the ayat of muhkam or the clear ayat of the Holy Quran.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glories to Allah, we worship Allah and no one but Allah.
And can the Mufassir enter his own presuppositions into the tafsir? For example, a person might be Sunni, a person might be Shia. What about these presuppositions?
Yes, we have sometimes, for example, tafsir bil-ra'y.
Yes.
If sometimes, for example, some exegetes of the Quran interpret the ayat in a way that is not in accordance with the whole content of the Quran, with the whole message of the Quran, with the, let's say, those, let's say, clear ayat of the Quran, of course, it would not be acceptable. It should be rejected. But if this tafsir has no problem with those main principles of Islam, main principles of the Quran, of course, in that case, it would be accepted, it would be justified. But of course, there should be some certain principles that should be observed by the exegetes.
That's all right. Okay, so during the history of Islam, so many tafsir were given to the Holy Quran by different people, different scholars. Which one do you find the most authentic one?
You know, we have different, in the history of Islam, we have different tafsir. First of all, we have riwa'i tafasir, which are based on ahadith.
Yes.
We have in Shia and Sunni, let's say, tafasir. We find some of these tafasir that are only narrated, in these tafasir, only narrations, only ahadith or sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding the ayat are mentioned.
Yes.
But the problem with these tafasir is that sometimes we can find some da'if, some weak and ahadith in these kind of, or invalid kind of ahadith. In this tafasir. So that's why if we had access to the pure riwa'i tafasir,
yes,
which would be accepted, which the narrators, the transmitters of the hadith would be authentic, would be trustable. In that case, of course, the best tafasir would be those tafasir that are explained by the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, by their sayings.
Yes.
But due to the fact that now we do not have access to this kind of tafasir, so, of course, then in the second step, we refer to the other tafasir. Of course, these other tafasirs also should be, in these explanations of the ayat, nothing should be in contradiction with the authentic ahadith, the authentic saying of the Holy Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt. And it should not be also contrary to, for example, the main clear or principial kind of ayat or beliefs in Islam.
Okay.
In this kind of cases, we can refer to these different tafasir. We have mystical tafasir, irfani tafasir. We have philosophical tafasir, literary tafasir. Different tafasirs are based on your interests in these fields of studies. You can refer to all these tafasir.
That's all right. Okay, as we know, in the contemporary Iran, the late Allama Tabatabai gave a very beautiful exegesis of the Holy Quran called Al-Mizan, which is ayah by ayah interpretation of the Holy Quran. This kind of tafsir, we can say, gets help from the verses of the Quran itself in order to give exegesis to the Quran, isn't it?
Yes, of course. You know, when we refer to the Holy Quran, sometimes the problem with some of the people is this, that they, for example, choose one ayah from a specific, for example, part of the Quran, and then claim that, so this is the message of Islam.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
For example, we have ayat of jihad saying that you have to, for example, kill the kuffar. So this is mentioned in that ayah. But we have to see that, okay, in the rest of the ayat of the Quran, what is Quran saying about jihad?
Yeah.
Does it mean that whenever or wherever you see someone who is disbeliever, you have to kill him? It is a misunderstanding. It's a misconception of the Quran. That is why the late Allama Tabatabai radwanullah ta'ala alayhi, he has a very good idea saying that, okay, when you, for example, want to interpret one ayah of the Quran, you should not just choose this one single ayah and say that, okay, this is the message of Islam that I understood from this one ayah. No, you have to refer to the rest of the ayah, to the rest of the surahs, and see the whole things.
Yes.
And then see what is the main, for example, message of the Quran based on the whole chapter, the all chapters of the Quran. Then you can, for example, present a good interpretation of the Quran. Otherwise, it is impossible to choose, for example, to be selective, only one, some pieces of ayat you select, and then say, okay, this is Islam. That's of course wrong, yes.
Okay, that's right. A kind of radical exegesis and tafsir of the Quran was given by some extremist groups of Islam, like, for example, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or something like that. And this, it seems to be a justification rather than an exegesis, isn't it?
You know, the problem with these kind of groups that sometimes, unfortunately, misinterpret or misunderstand the Holy Quran is this, that according to the Shiite doctrines and teachings, as the Holy Prophet himself said, that you have to refer to both Ahlul Bayt and the Quran. It means that whenever you find some ahadith, some sayings that are related to the Ahlul Bayt, that you find them which are against and opposed to the Quran, of course you have to reject it, because Quran is like a criterion by which you can evaluate and assess the riwayat and the ahadith, the true ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. But sometimes there are, as you rightly mentioned, there are sometimes interpretations of the ayat made by some people which are really opposed to, for example, the sunnah of the Holy Prophet, to the main sunnah of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, to the authentic sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, to the seerah of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam. So, of course, in these cases, these kind of interpretations or this kind of understanding from the Holy Quran based on the hadith of the Holy Prophet is not acceptable, it's not justifiable. We cannot follow these kind of interpretations in our lives, because we have to assess, we have to evaluate whether these interpretations are in line with, for example, ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, seerah of Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
Because Ahlul Bayt are introduced by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a kind of criterion by which we have to assess.
Okay, that's all right. Also, mastery over the hadith knowledge is very important, because most of the time we have to refer to the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt in order to find a true picture of some of the ayahs of the Holy Quran. And this has been so because they ask the infallibles about the meaning of an ayah, and they give a hadith in response to that ayah. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani. It was very kind of you. Nice elaboration on the concept of tafsir of the Holy Quran.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. TNL episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. Li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن